All right, if you'd like to read with us in the 13th chapter of St. Luke, the 34th verse. Luke 13:34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, as I was reading this, and as Christ here was speaking to Jerusalem, he had a way of making a deliverance for them. The prophets was sent, all this was sent witnesses, and as he said, which killeth the prophets. So instead of accepting what God had sent, they had even killed the prophets. They had persecuted them. They had done everything that they could to try and keep the Word of God from even reaching them. And then here he said, how oft would I have gathered your children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. And you'll remember back as no doubt Christ was thinking of this very thing as he had brought Israel out of the land of bondage in Egypt, and how he had delivered and all that he had done for them, and how he had told them how to worship and laid down a thing for them, the whole plan, the commandments and everything, and laid it out so plain and easy for them, and had delivered for them. They wasn't fighting the battles. It was God doing it. God told them, you just go and you present yourself. The land is already there for you to possess it. You just go in and possess it. God has provided everything for them. But because they did not do the way that God said to do, God turned around and destroyed them by the hundreds of thousands. Today in America, people think, I don't have to listen to what God's Word said, because after all, I'm special. People think well of me, but God said you and I, we're going to face Him when this life is over and give an account of our life, the way that we live it. Christ here needs to speak to that. How old would I gather your children as a hen gathers her brood, and you would not. In other words, you would let your children come unto me in the way that I protect your because you turn unto the things of the world that I forbid you to take part of. And here, Christ was telling them this and making it so plain. And you know, I could remember as a kid, and I used to watch this because I remember hearing Dad preach on this, and I watched an old hen with chicks. And there we lived in North Carolina on the farm. There's a little baby hen that Dad had set on some bigger chicken's eggs because this little baby was a real good mother. And this baby, when it come up, was torn. They were too far from the chicken house from the run again with these little chairs. And she went making her sound and just sat down out there right beside the driveway. They come into the farm and it was thunder. It was lightning. It was just pouring the rain for about an hour there. And then he had sat right there. And one of them little chickens running underneath her. You never seen a woman her sitting there in their feather and her being blown in the wind as the storm first started. But then it got so wet you couldn't see anything moving in the wind. But that old chicken just sat there hopped down to the ground after the storm finally the protection that we need, and He stands ready. And if a little baby hen can protect her chicks from a rainstorm, God can protect you and me from anything we have to face in this life. That same little Benny, I can remember, as those chickens grew, they got to where they'd run in underneath her, and they'd raise her totally off the ground because they were so big, but they were still looking at Mama for protection. You and I today, we'll never get so big, but what God is still able to protect us. God's there for each and every one of us. And here, you know, we can read this and think just what love Christ must have had, what He must have been feeling here toward the Jewish nation, and yet being rejected by how that must have hurt. When He went to the cross, He went there still with love in His heart for the very ones that were calling for Him to be crucified. You and I today, so many times in life, it's hard to show forth love to that enemy, that one that tried to destroy it. But you and I, if we can get to that place, if we'll pray for we get that spirit on the inside that's able to still love that enemy, enough to get on our knees and pray a sincere prayer for God will look down and fight the battle, protect you and us, to be there for the strength that we need to bless us in the time of storm. And after it all passes, to get us to see the beautiful rainbow. You know, I can remember as a kid when we'd be in the house when the storm would come like that, and as soon as it passed over and the sun would pop out, Mom would say, if you run outside, you might get to see a rainbow. And we would run out, and I can remember the rainbows. You could even see them come down up in the field where it was still raining. And you could see the rainbow as it come down. But as the rainbow moved on off. Each and every one of us today, we can look at that and remember that God put it there for a promise to man that He wasn't going to destroy this earth with water anymore. The next time He was going to destroy it with fire, not leaving nothing. He said the fullness thereof will be burning. You and I, we better put our faith and trust in God, because everything that we see here, it's going to be done away with. There's nothing that's going to last but the things of God, the things that God has laid down for you and I to live by. That will endure. The life that we build upon the Word of God, that will endure. But everything else will be destroyed. All that we labor for here in this life, to build a home or a car, anything like that, it will be done away with. But those children that we raise up and teach about God, teach them to love the Lord, to worship God in spirit and truth. Those children, they will last for all of eternity with God. Those labors will not be in vain. But they'll be there for you and I to enjoy with God, because we was obedient. You know, we can read this and think of the protection that God was offering unto the Jewish nation, and they wouldn't accept it. He said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You and I today, you know, there's many of a person here in this life that thinks that they can make it without God, thinks that they don't need God, just as Israel thought that they didn't need that God that delivered them from Egypt. They wanted gods like the other people had. They didn't want God to be their head. They wanted a king like the other people had. And every bit of it led to their own destruction. Why? because they did not want God to be at their head. Today we've come to a nation that is highly educated. America has spent more on education than any nation on the face of the earth. And yet we don't still have enough knowledge to recognize that God's the head. We still want to say that we know as good as God what's best for us. But each one of us, if we only come back to the same situation that Israel was in when they would turn their mind and heart to God and say and realize that they weren't able to do it on their own. When they turned to God, God was there to forgive and to bless them. This nation in which we live today, if people would turn their minds and hearts unto God, God would bless this nation again. We wouldn't have to be paying almost $3 a gallon inflation. In America, it is over $3 a gallon per day. We wouldn't have to be paying the price that we pay for food. And those say, "Why, God bless us enough. Where is the plenty?" But today, the thing why that people is at the pay the brother is greed among people. Everybody wants a chore as much as they can for every little thing so that they can get rid instead of laying their treasure on the other side and knowing that God's going to take care of us here and supply our need. We're trying to do it all ourselves when God sent out here. Put your faith and trust in me. I'm the one that feeds the bird. I clothe the flower. I'm the one that supplies for every wild animal there is on the face of the earth. Man's not rich enough to be able to provide for those animals, but God does. Man's not rich enough to buy food that can compare with the way that God dreads his wallow. He took care of it. Man's not rich enough to buy something that can make you feel as pretty as a flower that God made. But God did it all. And you and I today, he said he'd take care of us if we put our faith and trust in him. But everybody wants to do their own thing and thinks that God should be satisfied and happy because we remember him and say there is a God. That's not remembering God. Remembering God is worshiping him in spirit and truth. The devil knew there's a God and he trembled before him. But he wasn't right. You and I today, we can say, "I know there's a God," but do you know him as your Savior? You can say, "Well, I know that Christ lived and that he died," but do you know that he died for you? Has that Spirit ever took up its abode in your heart? Have you ever been made alive in Christ Jesus? Have you ever took your burdens unto him and felt those arms of love wrapped around you and protect you and give you the answer you need? Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night with something awful upon your mind? Some problem that you're facing? Something that you didn't know the answer to? And begin to pray and talk to God and you found the answer right there. The peace you need, the sleep that you need come. And in the morning you woke up knowing it was a new day and a lot better than you thought it was. We're going to be wise because you talk to the one that held the day in his hand and the answer that you and I need. And each one of us can serve God to where those around about us knows that we have been born again. And each one of us can live in the protection that God gives. You know, here he was promising this, telling Jerusalem what he was willing to do for them. And that means he's willing to do for each and every one that will come unto him. The protection of God. You know, you can say, a lot of people will say, "Yeah, but I know men back in the Bible that God did not protect." There was men in the Bible that God used that was abused, even killed, for their stand for the gospel. But the reason they was to prove to you and I that God will go with you all the way, even to the end. Paul, when he got done all that God had for him to do, he said, "I finished my course and I've kept the faith." And he was ready to die. You and I today, it makes no difference what we face here in life. If we've lived our life for the Lord, when it comes down time for us to die, He'll be there to go with us. He'll be there to hold our hand. When the death angel calls, and most people think, "Oh, they must be so afraid to face death." If your heart's right with God, it's like a close friend coming to visit. No fear. Why? Because there's something waiting for you on the other side. And all of us must go through that shadow of death. You know, I've thought of that many times. The Bible speaks about that. I've been working out in the summertime, whatever it might be that you're doing, and here there was a shade that comes, or maybe it was just a cloud that come across for just a little bit to break that sun from shining on you, and what a relief it was. You look forward, if you're walking or doing some kind of work, you look forward to coming up on a train where you can be in the shade for just a little while. Why, it was so soothing unto you. It felt so good to have that heat, that pressure the day off. If it was only for just a few minutes, you and I would have come down time for us to die. If our hearts right with God, God said that's the way death is. It's just that welcome chatter before entering into that eternal life with God. You and I today, it's something to look forward to, not to dread and fear. It's a time of victory, of shouting and rejoicing if our heart's right with God. But if it's not, it's a dreadful time such as man cannot comprehend unto that hour. You know, no man has ever been able to preach the hereafter for a lost person sufficiently that they could really see and comprehend what's waiting for them. And no preacher has ever been able to preach heaven to where you can comprehend what's there waiting for a Christian. But you and I know that joy and happiness is far better than torment for eternity. And me, I want to go where the Lord is. To see the person that I have felt in guidance, in blessings, in every way that you can imagine. But I've never seen him. But to be able to go and my eyes see what only I felt here in this life, I long for that. Each and every one of us, it's within reach. While we sing some song, if your heart's not right with God, will you come? You know, here, Christ was willing to be their protection, and He's willing to be ours today. Christ was willing to fight their battles, and He's willing to fight yours. Christ was willing to be their Savior, their Redeemer. So much so that even though they rejected Him, He was still going to go and do His part. He did His part. Though they rejected Him, He still did His part. So that man couldn't say, "Well, I changed my mind and there was nothing I could do." God did His part, and it's up to us. Do we want to do our part and accept Him? That's all that's left for man, is to repent and accept Christ as Savior. While we sing, we